Live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Oh, do we start? Sorry, coming to you from Rust and Tustin.
Sorry, what are you drinking?
I had my headset off for 1 minute while I was opening the window.
That's all right. What are you drinking?
I am drinking something new that I've never had before that was bought for me. It's called Tucher. I think that's how you say it. T-U-C-H-E-R. And it's a Dunkel Hefeweizen. And it's pretty good.
A dark wheat beer?
Yeah. It's good. It doesn't have as much... it's more malty than a Franziskaner. You know how that's kind of spiced? There's like no spice in this. It's like it's just a dark hef that's got very subtle, it's just very subtle. It's good. It's very drinkable.
Malty?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Malty or crispness generally equals drinkability. I'm drinking a pretty drinkable cucumber sour.
Ugh.
It's a cucumber sour by 10 Barrel Brewing Company. 5%. It has an excellent Persian cucumber floral flavor and aroma. Are you eating?
No, I moved something off my desk. The first problem I had when I tried that beer, because you offered it to me at a LAN party, and it was the overwhelming cucumber. It even smelled like it.
No, I gave you a different sour.
No, there's a cucumber one that I had, and I hated it. And then the one before,
what did it look like?
It was in a can. I think it had some green on the top of it.
I must have given it to you then.
Yeah, and I had a watermelon one too that I didn't like either. I think that was the first one you gave me, was the watermelon one.
Huh.
But that one I could tolerate more than the cucumber. The cucumber one was less sour than the watermelon one was, but the cucumber one, it was just because I hate cucumber. I don't like pickles. I just won't eat cucumber. And that's why I didn't like it that much. But recently you met Chris, I think for the maybe second time.
Other Chris, not friend of the show Chris.
Yeah. And what he does is he goes out and gets these growlers from local breweries. Mm-hmm. And I think he actually went to the Tustin Brewery and got a sour from there and brought it back. And we finished it, both of us.
You liked it?
I liked it. Yeah.
What were the characteristics?
It was a very subtle sour. Like, it just had slight sour aftertaste to it. It wasn't overwhelming as you were drinking it. And it was a raspberry. Raspberry sour. And I liked it. It was good. And I think it was about 5.5%.
So it was a local American brewer?
Yeah, it was the Tustin Brewery.
Okay. He was talking about that when I met him.
Yeah. And there's one in Huntington Beach that he goes to as well, that he's brought some stuff back from.
I'm trying to change the battery of the hardware backup. I guess it was dead. I couldn't record on my backup system. I got my car washed yesterday, and they forgot to wash my floor mats. That's what they said they're going to do. So I made the mistake of taking it back and then going to get it washed. And when I got my floor mats are the wrong color now. Long story short, they're blue gray. My car is gray.
How do they? Where did the blue come from? Is it the cleaner that they use?
Bleaching? Some of that.
The shampoo?
That cocaine powered OxyClean? I don't know.
Huh. See, my car has rubber floor mats. They're like honeycomb rubber floor mats, so.
That's what I'm going to get. I'm just going to keep my shitty ones now and then cover them up with the rubberized ones so I don't have to get them washed again. Because even if I get the real ones replaced and they're not Chinese knockoffs from Amazon, then, or a third party, which I don't really care for, then at least I'll have it covered so I don't have to look at it. It's ugly. It's too blue.
If you're going to get rubber floor mats, make sure you get quality ones, because
I'm going to get the OEM ones.
Yeah, because they get brittle. Well, even the OEM ones, depending on the manufacturer, they become brittle, and then they just break apart. Kind of like, you know, those plastic computer chair mats?
Yeah.
Where they start cracking and breaking into pieces. That's basically what happens to those floor mats.
I've had one in my trunk. I think that's from Honda. It's 10 years old. Seven? Fuck, I don't know.
Your car's like, in 06 or an 07?
06, but I think I've had it like 7 years.
Okay. My car's in 07 and I got it in 08, so it's almost 10 years. And yeah, I've still got the original floor mats in my car. No breakage or anything. I think, it's a side note while we're talking about car related stuff. Part of me wants to, like, even if I get a new car, part of me wants to keep this one and just kind of keep it fixed up, because I've read a lot of things online about Volkswagens, particularly the Golfs and the GTIs. Since that car, almost across the board, their build quality has gone downhill. So mine was a Mark 5, the Mark 6, and the Mark 7. Were the ones that came after. The 7 is the latest one, which is made in Mexico. So the whole entire North American market, if you want to buy a brand new GTI, it's only made in Puebla, Mexico. Where, and then the 6, which came before that one, was made in Mexico and Germany. And then the 5, what I have, which is before that one, is only made in Germany. So I think that there's kind of like, they had to start cutting costs. Because I think they were losing or almost breaking even when they used to sell GTIs for about $22,000. Now they sell them at almost... They're basically... If you're going to go in and buy a GTI, a base spec one, you're going to be spending $30,000 out the door. So the price has gone up and the production... Sorry, the price has gone up and the production quality has gone down. Or production quality, I mean. So part of me wants to keep this one because... potentially in like 15-20 years, I don't think I would ever keep it that long, but that these cars can become collector's cars. Like, nobody thought that the original GTI, like the first gen one or the second gen one, would be like highly sought after, and they are, you know, 10 even 15 years later. So I don't know, part of me wants to like get rid of it because it's mechanically it's perfectly It's sound mechanically, but it's cosmetically, it's a fucking mess. It's like the clear coat's peeling all over it. I got rock chips all over the clear bra, and the front's been cracked and peeling for probably about 5 years now. I've gotten, you know, I think I told you I got hit in it once too. So it, yeah. It's just, it's kind of, I don't know, it's like, Maybe my attachment to it is just purely, not nostalgic, but it's like, you know, it's dependable. Like it's been like, I've driven it in Vegas heat in like 118 degrees stop and go.
It will be collectible when, everybody's got their fully autonomous, Google cars driving them to the gas chambers. The guy that owns the last stick VW that you have is going to be happy.
Well,
or spend a lot of money on it.
That's why Porsche is so great, because they're the only high performance car manufacturer that still offers a manual in several of their cars.
What are you excluding from that? Triptronic?
Yeah, paddle shift, because that's still electronic. It's sending every time you pull that paddle, it's sending an electronic signal to the computer in the car, which is telling it to shift gears. It's not a manual linkage like a manual transmission is.
Is there an advantage?
Yes. You're always going to be faster in a paddle shift.
I'm pretty sure electronic shifting passed up stick shifting a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, even when they invented dual clutch transmissions, that was something that Volkswagen pioneered. They, even then, without paddle shifters, just a regular transmission with twin clutches in it was a night and day difference. but there's something disconnected about that. Like, if you're driving a car that's fun to drive, you know, unless you're in a supercar where you're not even focused on shifting gears, you're focused on just staying on the track because you're going so fast. Like, that's kind of the exception, you know, with Ferraris and Lamborghinis and stuff like that. But when you're driving like a, you know, a Porsche, particularly old ones and stuff like that, it's just, there's something about the mechanical, you know, the feedback you get from driving it, you know? That's kind of something that Volkswagens have always been good at. Like, they've always felt very mechanical, at least the manual ones. But anyway, I mean, I don't know.
They'll all be collectors, because I'm pretty sure there will be some other technological breakthrough, because the car industry is shit.
Well, German car industry is not shit. That's their biggest, I think that's the biggest moneymaker for the EU.
I mean, they're producing garbage. It's like stepping into a time machine when you get into most of these cars. And even if you can get into one that has something modern, like Android Auto, which is a laggy piece of shit, or CarPlay, which is probably not much better, it's still a garbage experience. And it instantly dates your car. You're like, oh yeah, I remember those from 3 years ago.
Well, there's some car, like, some car companies Channel do innovate, like Ford with the new Ford GT. This thing is insane. I just linked a picture of it. Aerodynamically, it's like no car that's ever been made. It's...
Wait, that's a car you can buy? You just linked me to, like, a rocket ship.
It's $500,000 for it.
It looks like somebody put, like, a... It's like a fish in a freezer that's been shrink-wrapped. Or they vacuum sealed it, or like, so they vacuum sealed the body of a car around the frame.
Basically,
the little notches between the tires and stuff are all like sucked in.
Basically, this car, it was completely designed from the ground up with aerodynamics in mind, and then the engine was secondary. So because of that, it is so aerodynamic that it is the fastest road legal car you can buy other than a Bugatti Veyron. And here's another picture. This kind of illustrates it a little bit better. You can see the huge cutouts from the front. If you look at this car from the front, it looks like a normal car, and then it gets narrower towards the back, and then the wheel wells arch up, and that's where the air cuts through. So when you're going 216 miles an hour in this thing, which is its top speed, it's like, have you ever driven a car, you know, like, let's say you're driving your Honda, you're on the freeway, you're giving it gas, you're hauling ass, and then you let off the gas and it feels like you just slammed on the brakes because it's slowing down so much, yeah, you know?
Because I'm basically driving a bus.
Basically, that doesn't happen in this car because it just cuts through the wind. So that's where a lot of the, you can have a car with 1,000 horsepower, but you could still only potentially top out at 205 miles an hour because you don't have the aerodynamics. You know, the engine's working at maximum, you know, it's maximum efficiency trying to get to go faster, but the aerodynamics are limiting it. So that's kind of why this car is brilliant, because they designed it from aerodynamic standpoint first, and then the engine was secondary. This thing's only got a V6 in it, and it'll do 216 miles an hour. So wow. It's pretty damn impressive.
In case you're late for work.
Yeah, well, the problem with it is it's fucking 500 grand and it's a Ford. It's more expensive than the majority of Lamborghinis, and yeah. But there's a good Jay Leno's Garage, because he bought one, and he's talking about it. It's a pretty interesting episode. You sit shoulder to shoulder in it.
Like, it wasn't designed for men?
It's designed for men. Because driving it, they said, is a painful experience if you're going to drive it hard.
Well, but why would you have narrow shoulders in a car designed for men?
Because if you look at the back of it, see how narrow it gets? The cabin?
It's very narrow, yeah.
That's why. It's because for the aerodynamics, they had to make it that way.
So you have to be like a fighter pilot? You can't be over 6 feet or something?
pretty much the seat's fixed and you can't adjust it. You can only adjust the steering wheel.
So if you're tall, your knees are going to be touching your chin.
Well, you can adjust the pedals and the steering wheel. So they move forward, I guess, backward. It's a really interesting car, but yeah, I don't think I'd ever get one in my lifetime.
Let's talk about the battery thing. Apple's okay. battery recall that we don't really know anything about, but we know somebody who knows somebody, if that's not confusing, that has a 2012 MacBook Pro like mine, and it just suddenly turned off. Looks like it's not holding a charge. You're saying that it should still charge. It should still boot even if the battery is completely toast. I agree, but maybe that's it. I don't know.
Well, we had an issue with a 2010 MacBook Pro that had a faulty battery, and we got a cheap knockoff one as a replacement. But I remember in between swapping them out, I had the thing plugged into AC power with the bad battery in it, and it was working. So it's just when you unplug the AC power, it would die, you know?
Okay.
So I would think it would be the same way with his if... You know,
that's how it's supposed to be. Issue.
I think it's a logic board problem. There's weird issues that happen with Apple's logic boards that are unexplainable. Like we have this problem with there's a 09 Mac Pro, big cheese grater one, and it would power on, but it would only boot to a gray screen. You couldn't do anything else. Like you could get into the, you could initiate the recovery thing, you know, where it shows the loading bar underneath the Apple logo, like it's loading into that, but it would just crap out halfway and then the whole thing would just lock up and freeze. And we reset the BIOS, we found the battery for the BIOS, removed that. We took out like different memory modules, put in different ones, no drive in it at all. Yanked out the video card, put a different one in, tried it, no luck. It's just all the same thing. So the only thing we could think of was like there was something wrong with a logic board on it. But usually with a PC, you know, doesn't matter who it is, MSI, Asus, whatever, any motherboard manufacturer, usually if there's something wrong with the motherboard, it won't even boot. Like, I mean, it won't even power on, or you can't even get into the BIOS on it. So I don't know. It's just I've run into weird issues like that when there's been Macs with, it's just something that we can't figure out, and we're like, we just basically assume that it's a fucking logic board problem because we've tried everything.
That's what Apple does too.
And yeah, it's just there's no testing methodology to prove.
There's actually a tool that's used by like their back office. The only one that was available for a certain period of time was only compatible with systems up to like 2011, 2012, and it would be able to tell you which sensor on a board went out.
Huh.
But the only people that used it were people at Apple that were like working on motherboards. So if there was a single sensor wrong or bad or something on a motherboard, they would just tell the Genius Bar people without testing it. They would just say, replace the whole motherboard. So if you're not under Apple Care, you've got to pay $700.
Yeah, fuck that.
Or $400. Yeah, it just depends on your system.
When Apple moved to Intel, they should have... I know it's because it's Apple, they would never fucking do it, but they should have made that stuff a little bit more interchangeable. You know, if they... For example...
They did. You could replace the processors and the sockets.
No,
and
I mean, like, if you could find an identical board, you know, that isn't Apple. No.
It's got to have a TPM chip.
Yeah, but you can install a TPM chip.
No, that, it has to be signed by Apple.
That's what I'm getting. It's like, yeah, it has to. It would never happen. But I'm saying there's nothing that would have prevented them from doing something like that other than their own strict philosophy that they want to follow.
Selling hardware.
Yeah. That's so so back then the board manufacturer would have been Foxconn. So who makes their boards now?
I don't know, but I would assume Foxconn.
Okay.
Why not?
Because I know Foxconn sells boards. But yeah, that TPM chip would be...
There's this device that I want to buy. Because I think it would help me do remote collaboration with people in New York. This Blackmagic web presenter. You feed it HDMI or SDI, and it shows up as, it just encodes video, that's all it does. It shows up as a like a webcam, a video device for a video conference. I could hook up a nice digital SLR, get the real-time feed off the HDMI through video, and then do a nice shallow of the field shot of just me. I would look picture perfect. But really what I want to use it for is hooking an Apple TV to it, and then any of my devices, even random cameras, I can AirPlay the video to the Apple TV, which would be fed into this device and presented in a video stream. I know that sounds crazy, but that way I can leave that plus an HDMI switch that has a dedicated camera on it, or maybe it's something that plugs into the SDI part, and I can just switch back and forth to interrupt the stream. And then I can stream a room. So I can have a dedicated conference video feed for a room, some portion of a room dedicated to conferences. I can step on camera, no audio, would you still use mumble, but at least that way it feels like there's interaction between two parts of the country. Instead of spending $100,000 on some giant Cisco interactive room that you have to pay for so that they can rebuild everything.
Right.
With like cameras that are practically invisible and beamforming microphones through some giant fabric wall. They're like all pointed at different people. This would be a lot cheaper way to do it.
I like how they advertise it with the smart panel, but then you scroll down and then you get to the pricing and then it's just literally a black box, and then that option is another $85. I mean, I know that's not
necessary. Oh, I didn't know
necessary.
That.
Yeah, but that's funny.
Pretty funny. I didn't realize that.
Sneaky
mini
bastards.
Smart panel.
So it's $580 really. That's not, I mean, still, that's not bad though. I mean, if you're trying to make, I mean, if you're comparing it to the alternative, it's cheap.
Even if you're going to do a game stream.
Yeah.
You could take your video out, pipe it into this, and then take it back in and stream that instead of dedicating GPU performance.
That's cool that it works with Open Broadcaster too. That's what I use for the,
yep. This is just, a USB webcam interface, basically. That's what it spoofs.
Cool.
I just don't know what devices you'd hook to SDI besides pro cameras. Do you know of any HDMI switchers that are cheap?
When you say switcher, what do you mean? Are you talking about where it's just...
Input one, input two, like a KVM the KV, or K part?
The one I've been using for... It's a 4K one. I've been using it for about 3 or 4 years. And
what?
It's, yeah. It's, but it... Well, it's not a input switcher. It's just, when you say a switch, I'm just thinking of, like, port replication. So it takes one... HDMI out and then five inputs, and it'll do 4K over each one. But are you talking about that?
How do you switch between each one then? I want to be able to put this has one input over HDMI. I want to be able to pipe multiple.
If you want to do it with like some, like this is really what I'm talking about, is really basic. It just comes with a little remote, and you just
that's what I want.
It's about $50 on Amazon.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it wigs out every once in a while because it gets really hot, and then I have to pull the AC power on it and then plug it back in, and then it works after. But it's been serviceable for 3 years. I'm sure there's something better you can get for more money.
You could hook like a Chrome OS device to this. One of those desk ones that have the video. Well, maybe not that. I don't know. Hook that up. And then anybody in an office can do a Chromecast screen with the Chrome browser.
Mm-hmm.
They can stream their desktop to a Chrome OS device, probably just even a Chromecast. Display stuff on a TV wirelessly. Then that would also be able to be whatever system this box is hooked to, that could be streamed to another part of the country. I'm just thinking of all the different options I could have with this. Because this makes it easy. You just need anything that can take a webcam input, like Google Hangouts, and then you can start a stream and just leave it open.
Yeah.
And you get those cool Hangout rooms, so then multiple people can join it.
What does Adam use and Noagenic? Because they do the video stream still, right?
No, they did it once, as far as I know.
Oh, I thought he has a stream going.
He has an audio stream.
Oh, I thought he has like a camera cast that he sets up in like the corner or something.
He did that once. I mean, he may have done it more than once testing it, but as far as I know, he's only done it once because it was way more work than he wanted. He did it to document his workflow, which is like way more complicated than mine.
Hmm.
All my stuff is virtual. His is virtual, but it replicates whatever was used in studios. So there's like this big panel, this virtual strip, and then he drags audio clips to it from the file system to cue them up, and then they all have like their own EQ settings, and then he can hit play on one, fade it out while hitting play on another. It's very elaborate, very breakable, because he needs drivers. That software has to be updated all the time. Anytime he updates his system, he needs drivers to get certain things to work. I mean, technically, I'm using some driver to pipe my audio back into Mumble and still get sound effects. But my system's just more resilient.
Hmm.
Let's see if PlacePoint has anything now. Did you drink that Golden Drake beer, whatever it's called?
Golden Drake? No, I'm saving that for the LAN.
Nice.
I'm bringing in that strong as hell cider and something else with it.
Did you drink that organic lager yet?
Yeah, I've
had a delicious product.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorites. It's expensive though for what it is. It's like $5 for a 22 ounce. The organic labeling is, I think, kind of ridiculous on it, because I think all beer is technically organic, but at least all German style beers or German beers, variant beers. But it's interesting because it's an English lager, and there are no English lagers that I know of besides that one, and it's really good. It rivals a lot of German lagers, and they don't have the English don't have that, the purity law or any of that stuff to follow. So it's interesting that they created something that is truly, you know, equivalent or better than a lot of German beers. Cause they just brew ales. That's kind of England's, beer making legacy.
No CO2 injecting, no bottle conditioning. I went to an English pub in Torrance, and they have the tap, you pull it down, then you have to push it back up, and then you pull it back down again. You have to pump the fucking thing. There's no CO2 injector, so you have to pump it.
Hmm.
You actually jiggle the handle to get the beer to come out. And then the beer is lukewarm.
That's how they drink it.
And then you taste it, and it's fucking oxidized. It tastes like bread.
Ugh.
That's the style. The style is old beer.
God, they really, you know, and
I know.
I don't know who's listening. I don't want to offend anyone, but when it comes to British food and certain tastes for things, it's odd. Like,
he hasn't donated in a while either.
They like that. What is that crap that comes from that black stuff that they spread on toast. What is that? That what?
Isn't that an Aussie thing?
No, there's an English one. It's got a like funny name.
You know what pisses them off the most? When you confuse Marmite. Them.
Yeah, it's Marmite. You're right.
You confuse the British with the Australians. Actually, the Australians get pissed off.
I think... No, Vegemite is the Australian one. Marmite is what is, I think is... I think it's the English one.
Let's look this up, because maybe I got the word wrong.
It's salty crap. I think that's the best way to describe
it. I'm going to get a big dead sock to put on your mic. I don't see how you can have a foam mic cover on it, and it's still popping. Yeast extract. Byproduct of beer brewing. Marmite. Include Australian Vegemite. And
how did I get to this? The bubonic plague? Oh my god, this is horrific. Continue, sorry.
Are you looking at pictures?
Oh my god.
Link.
This was the fucking the Black Death. This shit.
Channel, Nate.
This guy's fucking nose and hands are rotting off. Necrosis. Ugh.
Oh man. Like a little black nubs for everything.
Oh my god. I used to throw them in pits. Man, living back then would have been. So I was telling my girlfriend the other day. I'm like, it's funny because she's allergic to penicillin, so she has to like take, the oxacin, whatever, the stuff that ends in, or not sin, it's CIN is the penicillin derivatives, and then there's another one called, it's another antibiotic that's non-penicillin based. But I was telling her that, like, if you think about it, like, the single greatest advancement for human health, like, just keeping people alive ever, was the discovery of penicillin. Because before that, I think people, like, the average life expectancy was like 40. Because you would get sick and you would die. It's just like, it would happen eventually, and there's no way to treat it. And then when penicillin came around, people actually were able to get rid of whatever diseases they had, or viruses. So yeah, that's how you get rid of this.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Do you understand that?
Oh, there was a sound effect I was supposed to play. I was supposed to isolate it for somebody.
You were going on about beer though before I mentioned the bubonic plague.
No, you were talking about Marmite or something.
Oh yeah, we were just talking about how shitty British food is generally.
Okay.
Literally the only thing that I could think of that is like good that I would love to eat off the top of my mind that comes from England originally is fish and chips.
You can have an aneurysm on a toilet. You never know.
That's what I was supposed to play.
You never know.
I do have to ISO that. Maybe I'll just clip it out of the show. Place Boing has another song. Maybe I'll save it for the end of the show. It's probably the best spot for it. I didn't pre-screen this one, so I have no idea what he's going to say. Apple's got a license for 5G, but the frequency is too high to penetrate walls or your body.
5G?
Yeah.
5 gigahertz?
Fifth generation wireless, but like 40 gigahertz? 39 or something?
Huh.
28 and 39 gigahertz.
Gotta make that shit like 20 megahertz instead.
I know.
Fry everybody.
Penetrate the walls.
Oh man, 20 megahertz would probably make your skin burn, wouldn't it?
I have no clue. There's a rumor.
Lower the rate, or
a rumor that there will be no Touch ID on the expensive iPhone that's rumored.
Yeah, it's because they fucked up and they couldn't work it into display. I think I brought this up in a prior show that I believe that they had some contingency plan in place in case it didn't work out or they couldn't get the R&D done within the time frame that they needed to. Because I think they had a prototype with it built into the display, and they were probably thinking, okay, well, if this doesn't work, then we'll just go all in with the facial recognition. Because they wouldn't have to design the glass differently. I mean, well, yeah, they would, actually, but they wouldn't have to... On the surface, it wouldn't look any different. It's just wherever the panel would be beneath the LCD for the... Or the OLED, whatever they're using for the fingerprint reader, that would be, you wouldn't notice that regardless. So they could have had one phone with a glass for it and one phone without the glass, and then probably the one with it in the glass didn't make it past testing, or they were having problems with it.
They sold a bunch of bullshit.
That's what I was saying. Like, I think that this one is, I'm glad I got my 7 because I think this thing's going to have problems at launch. And then the other question is, how does it do the facial recognition? Do you have to be connected to the internet? Does that go to their servers, or does it keep some...
It can do it on device.
So it would have to get set up with your face originally.
Who knows? That means the camera is like always going. I'm going to give it dick recognition.
Maybe when you, you know how it'll probably work? It's like when you raise your phone up. When you raise your phone up, it'll turn the camera on. So it'll scan your face.
Or scan your dick.
That's how they're going to save the battery by doing that. But
yeah,
that's gimmicky. I would rather just wait until they have it built into the glass. Probably the next version.
I would prefer that they include both and then strongly discourage you using facial recognition and making it really tricky to get away from it, so that it does shitty Touch ID plus face.
Well, and then, okay, what if you're a fucking Muslim wearing a fucking niqab or hijab, whatever the fuck it is, and all it can see is your eyes? So is this a microaggression against Muslims with this thing?
You should bring that up with them.
Gee, Tim, I thought you guys were a socially responsible company.
Did you see that close-up shot of his face on MacRumors?
Uh-uh.
His resemblance to a grandma is stunning.
He's very androgynous. It's really weird. He looks like a bird to me, too. He does. Is it on MacRumors if I go there right now?
I'm trying to find it. I know it was there. Could have been on there yesterday. They collapse a lot of these stories to make them thinner when you go to page 2 and page 3. So for all I know, it was like the second image. But he had like little jowls and stuff. And that gray hair. Just like a grandma with short hair.
They're still selling the iPod Touch. Oh, the popping. Sorry, I got closer there.
They were, yeah.
It says Apple adjusts iPod Touch prices and storage.
Oh, iPod Touch. I was thinking of Nano and all that.
I thought the iPod was done. Like, I haven't even seen those in Apple stores when I go in there.
I had that jury bullshit recently, and there was a guy with an iPod Touch there, and I was trying to figure out what he was using. I was like, that phone is so tiny. What is that? It's so tiny and thin. And then I realized
it's a gaming device.
It's a normal-sized iPod Touch.
If you just want to play games or you know, they're good for that.
I kind of like it. Get the screen's too big, too. But I kind of like my iPhone Plus.
Yeah, because you probably adjusted to it.
I'm thinking if I wanted something smaller, I'd get an Apple Watch and then just get the biggest size screen of everything.
Yeah, but you gotta carry that Pro. Both around with you, though. That's the problem.
I'll be getting a 13-inch iPad.
Yeah, but you're not carrying the iPad with you everywhere like your phone. No.
Yeah, but I have my phone with me everywhere, and that would be the largest screen that I'd carry. It's arbitrary. You pick whatever size you want. There's a solution for everything now that there's so many screen sizes. It's pretty awesome. Because if you got a smaller size iPhone, you could just get a smaller size iPad. I guess if you traveled a lot, small size everything would be good.
Yeah.
Although I kind of want my 13-inch iPad because when I travel, I want to be able to watch stuff on that screen. And then when it's at my desk, I use it all the time for a status board, note-taking, and multitasking in general. But if I'm stuck in a hotel room, I normally watch video on my iPad. Because a lot of these hotel TVs don't have HDMI. They try to hide it.
Yeah, well, and they're crap TVs most of the time, too.
When I was in Canada, they had one that was designed for plugging stuff into the TV, but it had an external box that did all the conversion. So on the work desk was this little station where you'd plug in the HDMI, and then if you got the controller, there were no options on the TV, but you could change the inputs. It was pretty cool. So every time you restarted the TV or turned it off and on, it would be set back to the TV. It was like tailor-made for hotels.
Interesting.
Did you see that VR AR kit video where the person is using, they're like watching an interactive music video almost in their living room, and this little tiny like cube thing is like bouncing around, and then it turns into a picture frame with a hand-drawn animated 3D people, and then he steps into the picture frame, is now inside of the picture frame in a fully animated world, turns around and looks back out of the picture frame back into the house that he was in.
Fuck.
The camera is only seeing the house. It's overlaying the augmented reality world on top in a very convincing manner, because it perfectly tracks his position in space.
Okay, I'm looking at the video now.
Is that the one that's like on the front page of Mac Rumors right now?
It's on the Verge.
Is it the music video one? The little white thing in the living room? And then you jump halfway.
The guy that scribbles.
Yeah.
Like that 80s music video.
Yeah. I don't want to play the audio.
The fuck?
It turns into him being in the music video, standing in that universe, looking back into reality, seeing his own kids dance to the music. It's pretty cool. I like the idea that the 3D model is there, and I can walk up with my phone and kind of tilt it around the model and see any aspect of it at any level of detail that I want.
The sad thing is that this will primarily be used for some faggot shit on Instagram and like Snapchat videos. You know, this will just be the next social media thing. That's what it'll be relegated to.
It'll be used in industry a lot. All of the GIS, all the information systems that contain information about where pipes run, will all be collected and put into an augmented reality system, and when a construction worker shows up, he can pay for a little bundle that will show him where pipes are laid below a property before he digs, or electrical lines are buried when they're subterranean. And in older parts of California, they're above ground, so you don't really need to wonder, but sometimes there's a, what would they call that, a lien? No, a easement. and they can still run subterranean stuff near those poles, but you'd be able to see it through the ground. You could do the same thing in your house. If you bought a really modern house and that was a thing that the construction company did, you'd be able to see where studs are through the wall or even your plumbing or electrical.
Yeah, that's cool.
I would love an app that let me document it myself, because I can reference photos and then map it and then pull it up anytime I want.
Yeah.
Have you seen those FLIR infrared cameras that you can attach to an iPhone? Gives you like a composite image of camera plus infrared. It's actual like thermal imaging.
No, I haven't.
It's really low res, like 80 by 80, but it's composited with higher resolution features, so it doesn't really matter. You can see where somebody had walked previously. It probably would have enabled me to see that bear that was bothering us in Big Bear. So I just pointed into the woods, even though I'm night blind because I was staring at a fire. I'd be able to see the heat. I could point it at cabling, and I could see a hot wire to know if it's energized before I pull it.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting.
There's several really useful ways to use a FLIR infrared camera. I'm considering getting one. I think it's like a case that you put it in. I'm trying to think of more. You can walk up to somebody after they use an ATM and see what numbers they pressed. What else? You could see, I guess, if somebody was in your room or something. I don't know. Hot parts in your car.
Oh, yeah. Engine. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Engine, brakes.
Oil cap. Huh.
Oh, you'd be able to see the any hot pipes through the wall. Or hot cabling. Like if you were pulling a lot of power over circuits or something, I'm sure there'd be a hot spot on the wall. You'd probably also be able to see if there was a lack of insulation on a certain wall. Sun-facing wall versus the shaded walls.
Right.
It's all shades of like orange, yellow, and purple, and blue.
Did you see Dunkirk yet?
No, I want to.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah. Who was the director of that?
Nolan.
Don't you like that guy?
Christopher Nolan, yeah. His movies are all good.
So you watched it?
No, but I like Nolan's, like, Interstellar and Inception and one of the other ones.
Oh, he did do those. Yeah. He's like the next Spielberg.
Yeah, Prestige. I think he's already better than Spielberg. Prestige, what's the other ones? Memento.
All of those mindfuck movies?
Yeah, all of his movies are mindfucks. Except for this one. I think this one's... The best description I've had for this movie is that it's an old-style war film. Like, a war film that you would have watched in, like, the 50s or 60s.
Like, so the Pacific?
Like, less
does it break into music and song and dance?
It's... No, not like that. It's that's like an Elvis movie. No, I'm talking about like John Wayne movies, you know?
That was the style then.
Like John Wayne war movies, you know, lots of drama and like heroism and stuff like that, but not a lot of gore and like not a lot of like just exhibition for gore like war movies have become since like Saving Private Ryan. Which was also, that was a great movie in its own right, but this is just more about, like, the cinematography and, like, kind of the sweeping scale of everything. Different perspective, I guess.
You want to end it there? Let's play Black Wake. I want to blow some pirates up.
All right,
until next week. Bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. We take Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin.
Ethereum preferred. Litecoin's good too.
Just because Ethereum's more, it fluctuates more.
I think it's gonna go up again. Has to.
Ethereum. Although there was some note about Ethereum. It's on the site. You'll see it. Bringyourwallet.com/donate. Support the show. Share the show. Until next week.
You could have an aneurysm on a toilet. You never know.
I'm not done yet.
Trump, Putin, Russian collusion.
Trump, Russian sort of collusion.
Trump, Russian possible collusion.
Trump, Russian metal collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Hi, this is PlaceMoney.com.
Russia possible collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Trump, Russian possible collusion.
Trump, Russian collusion.
Trump, Russia possible collusion.
Russian hacked our election.
Here comes a big change.
Hi.
Because all of a sudden,
Trump,
Russian possible collusion.
Russia.
Oh man, PlacePoint is great. I need to show you the video though, because it's got the
coming.
A bunch of Russian guys.
You could stop at 5 or 6 stores, or just one.
Oh my god, I hate YouTube autoplay.
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here.
Sayonara.